Welcome to Classic Comics Cavalcade. I'm Jason Sachs.
I'm Amir Malakpour.
Thanks for jumping on to watch or listen to us talk about another Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Joe Sinnott classic. This time, This Man, This Monster, Fantastic Four 51. So you hadn't read this issue before either, had you?
Oh, I haven't read a lot of these Fantastic Four issues, even the classic ones, this is one of them.
What'd you think?
I really enjoyed it a lot. I think what's interesting about it is last year, Alex Ross came out with his own Fantastic Four, like hardcover, like a standalone book. I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but basically it was a sequel to this story.
Right.
And obviously I bought that for the art, having not known any of the story. And when I read it, I didn't know who the character was. I heard that it was related to this one later on. So having read it, it's pretty interesting. I could see why this issue was very popular. It's like with kids who have grown up and become adults and still read comic books. But I can't see how kids would love this comic. Ooh, and I can see how parents would love their kids to read this comic, because it's about finding the good, you know, the good in people, the love that people have for each other, and letting go of resentments and hatred.
Well, let's talk about that. That's a great hook, Amir.
One other thing, too, is if Dr. Doom had done the same thing, there would be no some of the greatest stories of all time in Fantastic Four would have been non-existent.
Oh yeah, well there's a great point there about, well, let's talk about that after we talk about the issue. So great cover. No Johnny on the cover, of course, but to me the splash page is the master page in this issue.
Yeah, that's the one I always know. I always thought this was the cover. I mean, in my brain, you know?
Yeah, that's what I always thought of as the cover, too. I don't even think about the other one as the cover. And this is the image that's been kind of swiped and borrowed for multiple other comics over the years. Is this freaking gorgeous?
Yeah, I love the fact that the way Jack Kirby draws water, like flowing down his body and then off his fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's standing in the puddles. He just looks so forlorn and sad, too. Snit's inks are so beautiful on this page. Mm-hmm. With the dark, dark shading on his eyes.
I love the lettering, This Man, This Monster.
Oh, it's such a classic Lee Kirby story from that standpoint, too, right?
Yeah. Do you think Artie Simek did that big lettering for this design?
Yeah, I think it's almost certain Artie Simek did the lettering, because we know Jack didn't do the lettering, because the New Gods issues were inked or were lettered by either John Costanza or Mike Royer. And they've got either Costanza or Royer trademarks all over them.
Okay.
Like, especially the Royer issues. And so I think Kirby didn't do his own lettering. Of course he didn't do his own lettering. Kirby was Kirby. He probably just wrote in text there, This Man, This Monster.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's all Artie. That's all Simic. The sensational Simic.
And do you think that This Man, This Monster is a concoction by Kirby or Lee?
Oh, I always thought it was Stan. What do you think?
I don't know. I can't tell. I mean, I always thought with the writing that I see Kirby doing like on the sides, it's never really ideas about like the catchy phrases. It's more about ideas of what needs to be said or what's going to be said rather than like the catchy. So could be Stan. I think it would probably be Stan.
I think it's probably Stan. It just sounds like Stan. It's the kind of like fun alliteration, but like reuse of words Stan loved. Almost sounds Shakespearean.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Which is very Stan. And then we get a 6-page grid, and then right after or a 6-panel grid, and then right after it, a 9-panel grid.
Wow.
And we were talking last time about how uncommon it is for Kirby, especially to do a 9-panel grid.
Yeah.
But he does these pages. He draws these pages beautifully.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The rain, I love the rain, you know.
Oh, the lights from the police car in the first panel. How they reflect off the water. I mean, this is just one of these issues where you can just feel the whole team completely in sync with each other. Stan Goldberg, who probably did the coloring, really knew what Stan and Jack wanted from it. Because like the red on the top of the police car really stands out too in the rain. Like it really kind of pops on the page. And then I love how Stan makes a point of saying, oh, the thing didn't just wander to this neighborhood. He was brought there for psychic reasons. Because that would have been like this giant red flag, like what the hell is going on? But he makes that extra effort.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering, it's like, and then obviously the guy, the mysterious man, reveals himself that he brought him here.
Yeah. We see that face and like we just have no idea who this is. Interesting how he has him in the shadows there in panel 5. I love the humanity of him touching the thing's shoulder on panel 4 too. And those deep eyes turning around like, oh, someone's paying attention to me, but I'm still pathetic.
I think it's pretty funny that the characters, this guy, this mysterious character looks like the thing, you know, his face. I mean, that he mentions it too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. It's interesting to see the thing in this very kind of domestic scene on page 3. There's no bombast here. It's just humanity.
Now, do you think if you're a kid reading this, you're enjoying this so far?
That's a good question.
Did you read this as a child?
Yeah, I'm sure I did. But I can't remember what my reaction was as a child. Because I had a pretty good run of Marvel's Greatest Comics. This is obviously before my time. It came out like the year I was born. This page might have been cut out of that issue for all I remember. It does take its time to get started, doesn't it? But then by page 4, we got things going on. I got to say, this issue's got some of the greatest Kirby tech this side of Apocalypse and New Genesis.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this thing he puts the thing in. This thingy, the thing for the thing. The giant device in his closet. Could you fit that in your hallway closet, no, Amir?
I have too many comic books in my closet.
Where does this guy keep his clothes?
Well, he just wears the ones that he's wearing.
Oh, maybe so. The green slacks are pretty cheap to come by, I guess.
Yeah, I like it how he has to take his shirt off and he's like totally muscular, but he can keep his shoes and his pants on.
Right? I love that. Oh, I love the Kirby devices too. Oh man, panel 3, how it like totally frames his face. And 4. What do you think of that sequence at the bottom too?
Oh yeah, he's turning into the thing, yeah.
It's one of those things I always call out, right? I just love those kind of really clever sequences. And then he's wearing his torn slacks like Bruce Banner.
Oh, that's right. Oh, okay. But then when he goes to, this is the weird part, right? When he goes to visit the Fantastic Four, he must have taken Ben's pants off and put it on himself.
Well, they must be enormous on Ben. Although they're unstable molecules, so they probably shrink.
Oh, yeah.
But then in that case, yeah, he took them off of Ben. More great Kirby tech here on page 5.
He just leaves Ben naked in his apartment. He comes back
to the building. That's right, because we know he has no clothes. He's only got that one outfit. Oh, yeah, how does Ben get dressed? Oh, my God. What if the other guy is the wrong, if he does have more clothes, maybe he's the wrong size.
Yeah.
He's wearing ill-fitting clothes. All the things Marvel never thought of. Reed's a jerk here because he's obsessed with keeping Galactus away.
Oh, yeah, he's still obsessed with it, huh?
Yeah. That's we must issue. Get, it will give Earth a weapon to which to fight extraterrestrial menaces, such as Galactus. You think he will return? There's always a chance. Yeah, so he's traumatized. Love that. It's a really nice continuity. My God, another Kirby device. Like every page is another Kirby device. This one's got a giant plug on the bottom.
And there's Ben. I think Ben's wearing that dude's clothes because he was wearing green and white shirt, right?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's a little big on him.
Yeah, he must have been naked. I don't know why I'm obsessing over that.
I would be really pissed off if I had to wear a stranger's underwear.
Do we know the stranger's name at all? Will we ever find out?
I don't think we actually do know. It's probably named, and he's probably named in here, but I don't know.
I always like the fact the way Ben Grimm, or I guess in this case, this character pretend to be Ben Grimm, always like picked up stuff, you know, like it didn't make any sense, like scientifically, like with one finger, he'd pick up like a whole like building or something.
Oh, yeah, the physics, like it should collapse around him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that device also transferred Ben's strength to this guy.
Must have, yeah. Considering he's picking up that thing with one hand.
Yeah, at least he didn't visit Ben's girlfriend.
Well, he does later, right?
Ben does, he doesn't.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But he doesn't like, you know, he doesn't try to take advantage of his opportunity.
I think it's interesting how they don't believe it's really Ben, too.
Oh, they don't? I thought they kind of did.
Right? Because hold on, mister. The thing isn't easy to imitate. He's not imitating me. And then that stuff at the bottom here. How could you not believe me?
Oh, you mean when Ben comes back, they don't believe
it. Yeah, they don't believe it's actually Ben. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant they didn't think that the rock thing is Ben. Yeah.
No, somehow he was able to figure out how to talk like him without ever hearing him speak, but okay.
That's the other thing about the stranger is that like he's apparently great at like impressions.
Right? Right? He knows just how he talks.
Like, this guy is perfect. Why wouldn't Reed want to be friends with him? He's like super smart. He invents like this thing that transfers himself into Ben Grimm. He's like great impressionist, so you know he's a funny guy, great at parties, and he's super strong, like he's fully muscular. I think bigger than Ben Grimm was. So I don't know.
He's a better friend, you're right. And he's got a great soul, right? He's a decent human being by the end.
Yeah.
Damn, you're right. Sorry, Ben.
He even takes Ben in when Ben's all depressed about like his girlfriend talking to another guy, like Silver Surfer.
Right, yeah. Gives Ben a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Gives him his advice.
Turns him back into a regular human being, which is what Ben always wants.
Well, that's the thing I was wrestling with, right? Because, like, if you were, okay, this is completely implausible, but if you were Ben, wouldn't you be happy someone else was putting on the orange bricks?
Yeah. I'd come back and say, hey, this dude's taking on my looks, which is cool. I'll still help you guys out, but you stay that way.
Yeah. Be yourself. You don't have to pretend to be me. Go ahead. Oh, heck yeah. It's like, It's like the guy at the job who takes over this responsibility you don't want. It's like, go
Yeah.
for it. I don't care. Let
Also,
me have.
this, yeah. Yeah. And also, this guy is definitely superior in intellect to Reed, because it's taken Reed, what, since the 1960s to try to turn Ben back to a normal person, whereas in this guy did it within maybe like issues. How many is that? Like 5 years? Less
Yeah.
than 5 years.
Yeah, and then he turns it back right away.
Yeah.
Damn, you convinced me. Let's recruit him.
Yeah, get rid of him. Get rid of Reed.
Get rid of Reed. Yeah.
No.
That picture of Ben on the last panel is just gorgeous, by the way.
A Kirby picture.
Such a perfect Kirby picture.
Even like regular people in Kirby has four have foreshortening.
So then Reed's got to go into the negative zone because for the safety of the Earth, he must break this completely arbitrary barrier we've never heard of before. Because he's Reed, I suppose. More Kirby devices there in panel two and panel eight or six, I mean. And then the great Kirby device.
It's like an M.C. Escher.
Oh my God, isn't it? It's not a radical cube, though. There's nothing cubic about it. I do remember reading this comic as a kid because I remember reading this huge radial cube, he says. I must have been in like fourth grade or something, because I remember thinking, no, this isn't what I learned in geometry. That's not a cube. There's nothing cubist about that.
Gotta blame Stan for it. That's Stan.
That's Stan.
Remember how, like, there was one time, well, remember, as if, like, we were there, but Kirby said, like, at one of the interviews, he's like, Stan doesn't know anything about science fiction.
He just chooses these arbitrary names for things. They calls them what he wants, right?
Or geometry, or art,
Yeah,
or
geometry or art, right? Because
Dealing with male pattern baldness, he doesn't know any of those things.
hey man, don't talk about my big problem.
Well,
God,
mine too.
damn, this huge radial cube is like, it's like the ultimate Kirby exquisite. Damn, I swear I could look at this all day long. And here's the thing, Kirby's art just gets better because we haven't gotten to the great image I have behind me yet.
Oh, yeah.
You here because I'm not on that screen. And then we get this inset with Johnny. Do you want to talk about that at all?
I mean, it's okay. I don't really know too much about, is it Gordon Lightfoot or what? No, what's his name? His name thing?
Wyatt Wingfoot.
Wyatt Wingfoot, sorry. Who's Gordon Lightfoot? I don't...
Gordon Lightfoot was a British folk musician
Oh, okay.
who did this famous song called The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, okay.
If you heard it, you would know it. You can look it up on YouTube when we're done.
I'll look it up. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, this is all kind of just blah, right?
It's like Archie, except with guys, no girls.
Yeah. I like how the coach is like, oh, I want this the son of this great Olympic athlete to come play on my football team. And it's nice how Kirby does not treat him like this Indian. I'm using the term specifically, but it's Indian like you might see in the other media of the time. Like, this is a really respectful characterization of Wyatt.
Oh, so he's a Native American. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's Native American. Comes
Oh,
from he comes from the tribes. His father was an Olympic athlete. So there's a like reading between the lines, either his father was ripped off or treated poorly or went back to the reservation after he won his decathlon gold medal. But there's some tragedy there.
okay.
I can't remember how it all plays out, but it's there's some power there. And actually the coach is called Coach Jim Thorpe, apparently.
Exactly. Right? I was going to say Thorpe, right? He's the one of the greatest athletes in American history. He was Native American too, right?
Yeah, so there's something strange there. I don't quite get it, but yeah, something there.
I wonder if there's a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence that his name is Thorpe, right?
Can't be.
Yeah, Coach Thorpe, yeah.
Yeah, just seems strange.
Because I remember when we were kids, like Bo Jackson, when he was like a two sports athlete, they'd always bring up Jim Thorpe as like a three sport athlete. He played football and like Olympics, and he did one other thing too.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like the big star of like our grandparents' generation. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, not your grandparents, because they were not, actually, not mine either. Mine weren't in the US at that point either.
Well, there's still he's still a great athlete of the world.
Still famous.
Cool.
I think we needed this breather to get to add to the drama of what happens in the rest of the issue.
I think it was like such a non sequitur, that scene where like the coach goes back to his wife. He's like, "Oh man, I wish I could get him on my team. He's a piece of ass." It's like, "Why are you telling me? Can we just have dinner right now?" Like, he's like, "Yeah, but I need him on my team. I gotta make him play, baby."
Jim, why do you always have to talk football? Can I please do something else with our dinner?
Why are we talking about this?
You're always drawing plays on the napkins and not listening to me talk about the kids.
Yeah. And why are you looking off to the side as if you're looking at like outside of a panel or something to tell people that you want this guy? And you're not directly saying something to me.
Eye contact, Jim. Eye contact. Well, Sue and Reed have eye contact there in the final panel on this page. She is legit scared for him.
Yeah. Also, one more thing, Jim. I am so much younger than you are. How did you marry somebody who's like at least 50 years younger than you are?
I don't know. Fill in the blanks there, Amir. What do you think?
Probably one of his students at the college.
Yeah. Yeah. The former head cheerleader.
Let's write that story and then submit it to Marvel.
It would be in one of the romance comics, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I fell in love with the football coach.
Yeah.
That'd be a great story for a gay romance story too, that could happily be published now, but never published then.
That's true.
That'd be a horror story back then. Anyway, yeah. I guess Sue and Reed love each other a lot more than Jim and his beautiful redheaded wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
here we go. Oh man, Kirby, Kirby, Kirby. Maybe that's why this issue is so beloved. So much Kirby.
So here's the funny part. Right off the bat, he goes to the new dimension, Reed does. Right off the bat, he's like, "Oh crap, I just tore the universe apart. We're doomed. It's shredding everything apart." It's like, "Oh, come on, dude. Like, chill out."
Yeah. Yeah. He's always so worried about everything. Well, Reed's like the most neurotic character in comics. Mm-hmm. Everything stresses Reed out.
Mm-hmm. Do you think...
Go ahead.
This multi-dimensional drawings, I'd have to say I prefer Ditko's so far. Until Kirby uses the what you're doing in the background. Yeah.
Until the Kirby collage.
Yeah. And you learn these collages from like marketing companies, right? Like advertising companies.
Yeah. Well, I guess he loved to cut up magazines and draw collages just for fun.
This was a big deal back then, right? This was like an art form because it was so hard to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's part of the reason people love him, because he would do stuff like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, Reed, the coloring on this page is awesome too. Reed, like, looks like he's floating in the third dimension above all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just gorgeous, man. Do you agree? I shouldn't say.
Yeah, I think it's gorgeous. This was done. this is like, do they have that that see-through plastic sheet where they printed it on there and then they just put them
Oh,
together?
probably, yeah, on the vellum.
Vellum, yeah, that's it.
You know, I just watched 2001: A Space Odyssey, which comes out like a couple years later. This looks like a moment from the end of 2001: A Space Odyssey, when he's flying through that interdimensional prism. Is Kirby anticipating the future? Yeah, you're right. Like, this stuff, I think Ditko would have drawn it even better. But Reed's desperation. And this is just immaculate storytelling. This is immaculate. This is as good as Kirby gets. Right? The look on his face on all four panels is a perfect match. He's pointing from panel two into panel, his body in panel three, right? His arm is literally pointing at his head. His then body points directly to his body beneath him. Between panels three and panel four. And then panel five is this close up on his face. I mean, it's this really abstract scene, but you never lose track of what's happening here.
That panel two body is a little weirdly drawn, but.
Hey, the dude stretches.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're right.
It's his stress, like water inside his body. He's like a waterbed where the water just goes from one side of the mattress to the other.
You're right. He's in a different dimension too, so you don't know how his body is reacting to the environment.
Those physics. I love how he calls for Ben too, his best friend. That's just beautiful. And then Ben's holding on. Sue's like so well drawn there. The fear on her face in panel five. Like she's convinced he's gone. This is this utter fear and desolation, despite everything they've been through. You see that love come through. And this is where our nameless protagonist really starts to change. Do you buy that he's changing?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously changing, but do you mean like, does it make sense? You mean like, is it logical?
Does it make sense to you in context?
Yeah, I mean, it's a kid's comic, and if I could see somebody changing like this. And that's why this book is such a classic, right? Because of this very scene, these next couple of pages.
Yeah, where he's really there for his friend. And it's so sweet, right? This is how it's going to end. And even now, he's more worried about me than himself. That's the guy I spent years hating, being jealous of. I ain't even worth his little pinky. It's like, it really is like this moment of epiphany. I think it stands out because we don't usually see this sort of thing in such a bombastic story.
I think it makes sense, this story of him changing, because this guy, he used to be like a great scientist that he lost, that he thinks he should have what Reed Richards has. But then he realizes that what Reed Richards doesn't actually do his work for the money. He does it for the good of humanity. So that's number one. Then the number two thing is he's there helping Reed Richards as this kind of like this goon. So he's his character. I mean, what he's pretended to be is this goon that's kind of like nobody. All he is hired muscle, you know, that he doesn't do any of the science. He doesn't, you know. But even with that, Reed Richards thinks of him as his best friend.
Yeah.
But Reed Richards doesn't really care how smart you are or if even if you look like a human being, he just cares about you as a friend and he loves you because of, you know, the love he gets from you. And so I think those are the couple of things that change him. It's like, oh, you know what? Like, why am I jealous? First of all, why am I jealous of him? It's not like he makes a lot of money. And then also, like, he doesn't look down on me just because I'm not smart as I am. Of as smart as he is, because he looks at people that I think are not as smart as anybody, and he doesn't care. So yeah,
I think you're so right on that. And so it takes him out of his hatred and makes him see the bigger world around him.
Yeah, find compassion, love, understanding.
Yeah, he grows the compassion, love, and understanding, and then sacrifices himself, gives himself the ultimate sacrifice there. Again, just immaculate storytelling. This is just such a well-told issue, too.
I like how he winds up and he throws them.
Yeah, like a baseball pitcher or something. Yeah. And then you just see him drifting off into the atmosphere. Where I finally learned what it means to have a friend. And then, it's like a screed against loneliness.
Hmm.
It's a saying, get off the social media and actually meet people.
And so in this scene where Ben's visiting his girlfriend, he turns back into the thing. Is that because that guy dies, or is that because just it didn't last that long?
That's how I've always read it, is because he dies.
Hmm.
And so the energy comes back to him.
Oh, okay. Through the different dimensions.
Don't ask, just read it.
Okay. Of course, now with Alex Ross's redoing of the story, that guy's not even dead.
I mean, you could say it's because he's like the Grinch, and he grows his heart 10 sizes larger, so he gives him back his soul. Gives Ben back his soul. I don't know. That's one way of looking at it, I guess. This is like the Grinch who stole Christmas in a way. Or not. But I mean, why does he run away from Alicia too? Should they be happy to see Alicia?
Things got issues. He needs therapy.
He does have some real problems.
Well, I mean, if you look like that too, it's...
Well, the irony is he should have talked to that guy. That guy could have really helped him kind of come to an epiphany about his life.
Well, I think after 60 years or 65 years or whatever, he's actually has a good relationship with Alicia now. I don't think
he's
jealous that much.
Oh, yeah. And at some point, we can talk about my favorite run of Thing comics, the Steve Gerber run in Marvel 2 and 1, where Ben's very happy to be who he is.
Oh, cool.
But of course, with me, all roads lead to Gerber, right? Just a very nice ending. Very nice ending.
And then there's that new next issue advertisement, Black Panther. Is that the first appearance, 52?
That's the first appearance of the Black Panther.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's I know we've been talking about doing some other comics and we just arbitrarily started with FF48, but I feel like in a way we got to keep riding this road.
Yeah. I'm surprised this is a classic, actually. I am surprised.
What makes you surprised?
Because it's not something that I think kids would love. So when they grow up, the adults wouldn't really remember them. Sounds like something like the parents would like. Which is never a classic maker, necessarily.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it's an exciting issue. It doesn't drag, except for maybe the scenes with the torch.
That's true.
And I think a kid can relate to getting over your feelings of jealousy for someone else.
That's true. Yeah.
Just as a counter argument, but I don't know.
Or it could just be that kids read anything. They don't care.
Especially kids back at that time.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's the biggest problem now, is kids aren't reading except on devices. But back in the day, 66 or so when this came out, yeah. It's either that or watching Ed Sullivan or something.
Well,
Bonanza, some shit like that.
In 66, these comics were the iPad that the parents were complaining about.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's got his head in those comics instead of reading a legitimate book.
Right. 20
years before, he's got his head in that book instead of chiseling, I don't know what.
Thanks for reading this with me.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. That was fun.